You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information, asking for you, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges, and we are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We have a great show for you tonight. We have a couple of first-time guests, and then we have an old friend of the show. First hour is our old friend of the show, Dr. Ted Brower. And we're going to be talking about a couple of things that I really find interesting. And I asked Ted about them earlier in the week, and I said, well, let's talk about them. One thing in particular is about your water. And we'll get back to that with Ted in just a moment. In the second hour, we are joined by Kent Lewis, and he's deep, knee-deep, actually probably up to his eyeballs, in what's going on with blockchain technology and Bitcoin. And we're going to try to keep this simple, but he thinks that the establishment, you know, the New World Order guys, are trying to take this over, and they'll use it to enforce carbon taxes and all these other really, really bad things. And I think he has a heck of an argument. And we're going to be hearing from Kent in the second hour. And in the third hour, a little earlier this week, I interviewed Christine Smith, and what a delight, and what an intelligent, articulate, aware person. And we're going to talk about the mental health of liberals. And she wrote an article about this, and I interviewed her on the 12 points of the health of liberals. And it's almost humorous, but it's not funny because it's true. So anyway, that's our show for tonight. We are brought to you by, well, we're brought to you by a lot of generous people, but in particular, we're brought to you by Steve Quayle and Renaissance Precious Metals. How long until the economy crashes? I don't know. World War III will do it just fine, and I know we're mobilizing across the country. I get your emails. I see your picture. So does Paul Martin. So do all my friends in the independent media. We know something big is coming. I don't know. Why take the chance? Keep maintenance amounts of cash in your bank, because when the bank closes, your history. And you need to trade in as much of your money as possible for gold. Gold will hold its value. And the person that I use is Steve Quayle and Renaissance Precious Metals. Give Steve a call tomorrow, 406-586-4842. 406-586-4842. We're also brought to you by Numana. When the poop hits the fan, you're going to need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, and medicine. And I don't mean big pharma medicine. I mean the natural stuff, the stuff that will last, the stuff that won't cause all the side effects that will send you to the hospital anyway. But I'm talking particular here about prepping across the board. And that would include readymaderesources.com and my good friend Bob Griswold. You want communication? That's where you go. Water filtration, great place to pick it up. Night vision, accessories for guns, anything almost you can think of in terms of prepping, Ready Made Resources has it. And you know, really the best thing about Ready Made is when you call, they'll help you. They're not interested in just making a sale. They'll assess where you're at in your prepping, what you need, and they'll help you get there, and they'll try to help you save money on the way. ReadyMadeResources.com, and the phone number is right there on the screen. Well, we have another longtime affiliate here with the Common Sense Show, Health Masters. And you've heard me say this. It's a cold day and you know where when I go to the doctor first for a need. Unless he's in Greece, I pick up the phone and I call Ted Brower. And I say, Ted, I got this, this. In fact, I even called him a little earlier last week. And I said, I got a good friend whose wife is expecting, and she's got all kinds of, well, let's say discomfort, morning sickness and the whole lot. And we're getting in the process of pastors. And let me just mention this off the top. Dr. Ted has a special relationship with our audience, and he's offering 5% off. So not only should you go to healthmasters.com for all your healthcare needs, you should also use this coupon code that he's made available to our audience, and it's the number 5 Hodges. So healthmasters.com, the number 5 Hodges. And speaking of Dr. Ted Brower, we have him on the line. Hi, Ted. How are you?
Dave, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, and I've got a few new stories I want to talk to you about, including chlorine and fluorine poisoning, and what the truth is about using a shower that has chlorinated water coming out of the spigot. Also, I want to talk about what chlorine does to the heart and how it causes cancer and heart disease. Plus, we're going to go into detail about some of Trump's appointments and what he's doing and how, in some of these cases, he doesn't seem to be draining the swamp. He seems to be stocking the swamp. In fact, I want to start with that. This is an interesting article. It says President Trump nominates Big Pharma pro-vaccine executive as Secretary of Health and Human Services. This is from the Autism Action Network, and it goes on to say, President Trump just nominated former chief lobbyist and president of the U.S. division of drug company Eli Lilly, a huge vaccine company, Alex Azar, A-Z-A-R, to be the next Secretary of Health and Human Services. Eli Lilly is the inventor and was the primary manufacturer of thimerosal. There you go, because all of these kids have all these problems. One of the many factors, many other ones, including aluminum. It's a mercury-based preservative used in vaccines. And prior to his employment at Eli Lilly under George Bush, he was the general counsel, later deputy secretary of HHS, when they decided to let Gardasil go on to the population, which has killed people all over the country and rendered thousands of girls sterilized with what's called premature ovarian counselor. As general counsel, head attorney for HHS, Azar participated in the autism on a bus proceeding that denied more than 5,000 claims of vaccine injury. Azar is the wrong guy at the wrong time to be Secretary of Health and Human Services. You have to understand, while the head of Eli Lilly in the U.S., Azar was also the head of the directors of Biotechnology Innovation Association, a trade and lobbying association for manufacturers, biological products, and including drugs and vaccines and GMO. This guy has run the full Monte, so to speak. He's got a full card deck here. He is basically drugs, vaccines, and GMOs, lobbying and pushing it. His career mirrors the revolving door policy of the Food and Drug Administration. He's the wrong person at the wrong time. And quite frankly, you figure Trump will be draining the swamp and get rid of the corruption. And basically, he is the one who helped raise drug prices and everything else he's done. And Trump's now saying he'll be a star for better health care and lower drug prices. But according to Dow Jones Newswires, during Alex Azar's tenure at Eli Lilly, executive prices rose dramatically for some of the company's top drugs. I mean, this is crazy that this guy's actually in there. You guys need to please call your senator and your congressman and tell them not to allow this guy to be part of the federal government. Him with Gottlieb is like a toxic combination. Gottlieb is now the head of the Food and Drug Administration, and both of them are active in getting kratom off the market. This is a natural herb that helps to reduce the symptoms of opioid addiction when you come off of opioids. And to me, that would make sense. They don't want you coming off of opioids easily because they have just doubled the amount of effective acreage in Afghanistan now from 500 square miles to 1,000 square miles, raising the production of opioids in Afghanistan from 4,800 metric tons to 10,000 metric tons this year, Dave. A double increase in the amount of land being used and the amount of opium being produced in Afghanistan right now in the past year under Trump's tenure, Dave. What do you think?
That's why we're there.
That's
right. I mean, I've been saying that for 10 years. We're there to facilitate drug trafficking for the deep state and the other elite people connected to the deep state, Ted. That's all there is to it. There's no other explanation on why we're there other than they flirted with the idea of the Central Asian pipeline, but I think that was more of a disguised intent. It's about drugs.
Well, no, it is. I mean, think about this for a second. We've got 10,000 metric tons being produced right now, and what's happened is we've had all these little places in Afghanistan have popped up now producing their own heroin, producing their own opium, producing their own poppy fields, and the government now has had enough of that because it's interfering with the CIA, and they're going in now and bombing these smaller drug labs and smaller drug companies and smaller drug producers. with these giant bunker buster bombs, which they talked about doing 2-3 weeks ago. Why? Because they simply don't want the competition, Dave. They want to continue to use their C-130 transport planes, using our 1,000 military places or planes around the world as lily pad junks to basically bring this drug all over the world and distribute it through the Vatican as far as money laundering, and also the mafia and the CIA as far as generating money for the black budget through the Exchange Stability Fund. This is a giant, giant mess. If you read the book, Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia, you'll understand it. Now, let me give you an example. You've got a guy coming, you've got a guest in your third hour talking about how when you talk to liberals about the truth of what's happening, you get these crazy responses from liberals. And I talked about this on my show on Thursday and on Friday, Dave, the show that I do with Austin, my son, every day here on Global Star Network from 3 to 4 in the afternoon. And here's the analogy that I used. When I was a kid, we got a cat. A stray cat walked up one day. It was a female. It's a white cat, real pretty cat. And all of a sudden, you know, we start feeding this cat. Well, the cat instantaneously gets pregnant, probably pregnant when it showed up. It's got a bunch of kittens. We thought they were so cute. Well, within a couple of years, we had 14, 15 cats running around. Finally, my mom had enough of it, and one day I came home from school and all the cats were gone, which is good riddance for the cats. But here's the interesting thing about this is, if you ever had a dog sneak up on a cat when the cat was sleeping, and the cat wakes up, he jumps up, his back goes up, his tail bristles, his eyes get wide open, he starts hissing, you know, with the old meow, screaming and hissing and carrying on, that's how they act. That's how I equate a liberal when you confuse them with the truth and you start telling them what's going on with their candidate or with the guys that they want in office and what they've done. They act just like that cat. They start screaming and yelling and carrying on. Absolutely no reasoning coming out of their mouth whatsoever. All they're doing is being a cat that is doing what they can to cause as much pain and suffering for whoever's around that cat. And guys, this is how these guys act. They act just the same irrational behavior as that cat seeing a dog. But now, of course, if the dog is a Malamute or a German Shepherd, that might be a dead cat. So I guess they could pretty much have a reason for getting like that with those big animals. But guys, it's crazy to me how liberals react. And in fact, when we talk about things like screening people who come into the United States for disease. I did a show a few years ago with a liberal. I was forced into the show by my publicist, which I no longer use. And it was crazy. I was a guest, and he wanted me to do a show on the Ebola virus and the virus and all these different diseases that were coming across the border 3 or 4 years ago with this open immigration policy of Obama when he tied into the UN policy. And what ended up happening is I was talking about how if you're going to bring people into the United States, that our immigration policy is pretty much broken. But if you're going to bring them in, you've got to at least screen them for diseases, for tuberculosis, for mumps, for rubella, for measles, for scarlet fever, for Ebola. You've got to make sure that they don't have some type of disease when they come into the United States. And immediately this show host did the cat thing that started screaming at me and yelling and telling me that I was a racist. And I'm like, how am I a racist by trying to prevent diseases from coming into the United States? When my mom immigrated from Germany back in 1952 after the war, my father went over there, met her, brought her back. He was born an American citizen. Both his parents were from Germany. He had a dual citizenship. When he came back into this country with my mom, she had to learn English and she had to be quarantined. They had to make sure she wasn't carrying any diseases. And see, this is the simple thing that you try to tell people nowadays and they automatically consider you to be a racist. If you say, well, maybe we need to think that we don't need to have all these Al-Qaeda guys and ISIS guys and all these people that hate us that we bomb their country into rubble coming into the United States on these C-130 transport planes in the middle of the night, bypassing immigration, you know, people and protocols, maybe we shouldn't do that. Because these people really don't like us, they get all mad. They're saying, you're a racist, you're a this, you're a that. Well, no, I'm not. I'm a realist. We don't need people coming into the United States who don't want to be Americans. Now, let's go back 60 or 70 years now to the Vietnam War. Back when Kennedy was in the Vietnam War over there in Southeast Asia, he wanted to pull us out of Asia. And he began to realize that the CIA had us into that Cambodian triangle primarily because they were producing opium and poppies, and the CIA was funding a lot of the black ops, which they had learned from Chiang Kai-shek back in the 40s on how to fund their black operations, and they wanted to control the Cambodian triangle and to bring the drugs in from Southeast Asia. The primary reason we were in Asia had nothing to do with communism. It was all about drugs. They were bringing in 50 kilos or about 100 pounds of heroin into the United States in every casket coming in underneath the liner in the casket, because those bodies were considered sacrosanct. Nobody touched them, and they were importing huge quantities of heroin into the United States through the dead GI's casket. You can look it up. You can read that book, Operation Gladio, and you'll hear all about that in detail with full documentation. Now, what they also learned in Vietnam, Dave, they started giving these guys chlorine pellets because they were drinking a lot of swamp water, and the water had bacteria in it, had amoeba in it, had all kinds of things that give these guys terrible dysentery, and they could die from it. So what they found was if they gave them chlorine tablets and put it in the water before they drank it, it would kill all of these microorganisms, and they could drink it safely, stay hydrated. What they didn't understand is that chlorine causes a massive increase in heart disease, atherosclerotic plaquing, and cancer. And these guys were coming out of that jungle after two or three tours of duty in Vietnam, and their arteries were as plugged up as they were 60 and 70 years old because of the massive amounts of chlorine they were drinking. Plus the chlorine itself, when you drink chlorinated water, it goes through your system like a doggone rotor router because it kills everything in there as far as bacteria and everything else because it's chlorinated, and it's incredibly unhealthy, just like Splenda, the artificial sweetener, is, because what it does, it's a chlorocarbon. It's actually got chlorine attached to it, and it does the same thing when you ingest it. Plus, it can cause liver damage and kidney damage. So, guys, you need to avoid all exposure to chlorine. And when you end up in a shower that's using chlorinated water, if it's been contaminated with solids like sticks or branches or whatever from a natural source like a river or a stream, and you chlorinate it, you create what's called the trihalomethane. And just one hot shower, Dave, one hot 10-minute shower has the equivalent toxic effect as if you drunk 8 glasses of contaminated water through the inhalation of the trihalomethanes and the chlorocarbons from that doggone shower when it goes into the air via the steam vapor. So guys, you've got to learn that you've got to get away from chlorinated water. And we have a shower filter. When we go on a trip, we screw the shower. We have them at healthmasters.com, and they're on our website, and you can go out there and you screw this little filter right on the end of your shower, and you stop all that chlorine hitting your body. It causes your hair to get dry. It causes your nails to get dry. It causes your skin to get dry. It causes a lot of skin problems and hair problems, including hair loss. You've got to get the chlorine off your body when you take a shower, number one. And number two, we have distillation systems that remove not only the chlorine, but they also remove the fluoride and the chemicals and the pesticides and the glyphosate. We have distillation systems that I've been using now for over 30 years on the website at healthmasters.com. And Dave, you wanted me to go into detail about that. I wanted to just give you a brief overview.
I did. I want to tell the audience what led to this. I've been reading a number of research articles, and they keep saying the same thing. And I've heard this before, Ted, but I never really stopped and said, I need to really look at this. They were talking about chlorine entering your body through your skin is far worse than you drinking it. And I already know drinking it's terrible, and it makes perfect sense because the skin's your biggest organ of the body. So that's what led to my question, telling the audience this, to Dr. Ted, that we wanted to talk about this because you need to get the chlorine out of your water.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, let me give you a couple more little notes on it. Chlorination, there's a direct link between that and heart disease. And this is an article that Fox PhD had written several years ago, and it was very interesting because he did a series of animal experiments on chickens. Within a few months, 95% of the chickens drinking chlorinated water had developed heart disease. To retest the results, Price divided the original control group into two groups, conducted the same exact experiment, and obtained the exact same results. Both the chickens and pigeons are excellent laboratory models of the study of atherosclerosis in humans. Many people are confused about cholesterol as a relationship to heart disease. Actually, cholesterol has very little to do with heart disease. There are all kinds of other inflammatory factors which cause this to happen. Each cell in the body has a nucleus which contains DNA, chemical blueprint. So when you get chlorine in that area around that, it causes damage to that DNA. It's a free radical, and free radicals are the chemical byproducts of metabolism that is looking for an accident to happen. Free radicals cause this change. Guys, this is some dangerous stuff to drink. When I go into a restaurant, I never, ever, ever use chlorinated water. I'll either bring my own distilled water in. We've got a trace mineral supplement. It's called Aquatrace. It's drops. You put about 2 drops in a glass of water. It remineralizes the water from the distillation process. We put it in our 12-gallon holding tank once a month, and it allows us to use mineralized water in a small amount of the with a small amount of trace minerals that are actually healthy for you, and they're great products. And we have those; they're called AquaTrace on the website. It only takes a couple drops per glass of water, and it creates an electrolyte solution. Because remember, distilled water, Dave, you may not know this, but distilled water will not conduct electricity. If you take an electric probe and you put it in a glass of distilled water, it will not conduct. It will not light in a light bulb if you have it to a power source.
No, I didn't know that.
If you put one drop of our electrolyte solution in that same glass of water, the light bulb will instantaneously light because it provides needed electrolytes for your body. Now, if you're not really concerned about the electrolytes, you can drink distilled water straight. I did that for years also, and it's fine. I never have a problem with it. It's about a 7 pH, which is fine for the body. It's not overly acidic like some people say. It's not. It's fine for you. I've been drinking it for 30 years. I'm 62 years old. I have top mental acuity. Plus, you need to understand, even if you live on a farm and you have well water, if that well water is filled with calcium carbonate or filled with trihalomethanes or filled with Roundup or glyphosate or filled with all types of weed killers in that well water, you're ingesting those poisons when you drink that well water every single time. And calcium carbonate is not used easily by the body, and it is stored in the soft tissues in the arteries, and it causes hardening of the arteries. In fact, if you go to my website at healthmasters.com, I've got a video of me taking the boil tank from my distiller and actually taking a hammer and a chisel and chipping out calcium carbonate deposits and taking them in my hand and crumbling them, and they sound like you're breaking up concrete. That's what builds up in your arteries. That's why they call it hardening of the arteries. You don't want to drink foods have to take supplements that contain calcium carbonate, and you don't want to drink water that contains calcium carbonate. I had a friend of mine, I was on his talk show. He's out there in Arizona with you, by the way. And he was he's a nutrition guy, and he's on the show with me, and he basically had a massive heart attack. He's like 60 years old. And I asked him, I said, what supplements are you taking? And he gave me the brand name. And I looked them up online, and every one of the products contained calcium carbonate as one of their primary binders. And then he had the surgery done. He had a triple bypass done, Dave. And within 2 years, he went back to the doctor, and he had almost an 80% blockage again in the brand new arteries because of, in my opinion, the calcium carbonate and those supplements that he was hammering every single day. It's dangerous for men to take calcium supplements. And even with women, you need to try to avoid that. You can get your calcium, if it's legal in your state, through raw certified goat's milk, good raw yogurt, raw cheese. All of those things are very high in calcium, but you don't want to drink pasteurized, homogenized, non-organic milk that's full of bovine growth hormone and who knows what else they've injected into those cows, Dave. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right on the money. And here again, we're back to the natural, and I'll make a parallel to the pharmaceutical. I challenged my listeners recently, Ted, on my podcast. I said, please just watch one night of prime time. You can record it. Fast forward through all the crap, because most of it is. And just watch the commercials from Big Pharma. And those commercials are just awful when you listen to what the side effects are that they have to put in there for the black box warnings that are required. And, Ted, you're talking about the same thing. This is the parallel to Big Pharma's black box warnings.
Well, no, that's exactly right. And see, the thing that's funny to me with human beings, here's the biggest problem we have, Dave. I mean, how many people have really thought about this before? I mean, when you are born, usually health comes as standard equipment. In other words, you have two eyes and two feet and two hands most of the time, and you're relatively healthy. And so you kind of take for granted the fact that you're healthy. You don't think about it. So most people think, well, I'm healthy. Why should I be concerned about health? Because I'm, 13, 14, 15 years old, and you don't ever develop healthy lifestyle patterns, and your parents haven't developed them either. So what ends up happening is over a period of years, you never think, well, if I keep doing what I'm doing today, what's going to happen to me tomorrow? See, here's what I always tell my friends, and I told them this all the way back in high school 45 years ago. I said, if you guys keep eating all this junk food, if you keep doing what you're doing, when you're 60 years old and I'm 60 years old, you're going to look like you're 80 years old and I'm going to look like I'm 45 years old. And I said, you're going to be feeling horrible with all kinds of drugs. And I'll be taking no drugs feeling great. And I said, oh, you're crazy, Ted, but they're arguing with me. Well, now when I go to a class reunion, they're like, why do you look so young? All this other kind of stuff. And half the guys that I used to say that to, they're all dead already anyhow, and they died in their 40s and 50s. And what people don't realize is this. We take our health as standard equipment. equipment for granted. It's like a windshield comes with a car, Dave, and we don't think about it. And so we don't think about what we're doing to our body. So we're eating junk food all the time, Twinkies, Ding Dongs, cupcakes, and we don't think about how they affect them. But let me ask you a question. How bad do you have to feel before you start making healthy dietary choices? I mean, think about it for a second. If all you're eating is junk and you're gaining a pound a month, and you think, well, that's no big deal. It's a pound a month. It's only 12 pounds a year. Well, what happens after 10 years? You're up 120 pounds. And I saw this to my high school friends. Well, how about 20 years? You're up 240 pounds. Now you weigh 350 pounds. Now you're huge. You did it with a pound a month. People don't understand how quickly that weight builds up in your system and what it does to your arteries and to your joints and to everything else. And so what we did is we ignored our health because it came as standard equipment like a windshield, and we never realized what we were doing to it, our health, until after we started having arthritis and diabetes and high blood pressure and atherosclerotic plaquing and prostate issues. And now you're feeling awful. Now you're suffering with erectile dysfunction. You can barely walk 100 feet without losing your breath. You feel absolutely awful all of the time. And now you're like, how did this happen? Well, it didn't happen overnight. It happened over a period of decades or years or 20 or 30 years. But the reality is, then we start to realize that we need to get our health back. And in many cases, Dave, it can't come back because the damage is too severe. You've had too many epigenetic changes into your DNA, and your health isn't going to come back. Now, you may get a little better than you were, but you're never going to feel like you did when you were 18. I feel like I did when I was 18. I have top mental acuity. I feel great. I mean, I exercise 6 days a week. I'm in, you know, great shape by the grace of God. I mean, I'm really blessed, and I'm in the field that I'm in, and I've really maintained my health all of these years. But, guys, here's the thing. Again, I'm going to ask you this question. How bad does it have to get before you start making healthier choices? And isn't it better to say, I wish I would have? Or instead of the would'ves and should'ves and could'ves, I wish I would have done this, I could have done this, I should have done this. Isn't it time now to start eating right? And in fact, we have a brand new book out, Dave. It's called Eat Clean and Be Healthy. Make it really easy for everybody. Brand new book's like $29. It's got like 160 recipes in it. And what it does, it gives you a way to eat really healthy food that tastes absolutely wonderful without having to eat stuff that tastes like, you know, cardboard. This food tastes great. If you ever come into the house, Dave, we'll have my wife fix you dinner, and she'll cook right out of that cookbook. And it's absolutely amazing. The book is called Eat Clean and Be Healthy, and it's available right now on our website at healthmasters.com. And remember to use the 5 Hodges coupon when you go there, and you'll get a discount on that book. If you get 4 of them for Christmas, then you'll get them shipped for free. You'll have them in a couple of days. You can give them some Christmas gifts. It's a great, great, great Christmas gift. But, guys, here's the thing. Think about this. If you've got high blood pressure, maybe you could do something different. If you keep doing what you've done to get it, it's not going to get any better. I know, Dave, when you called me up a few years ago and you were having joint issues and back issues, I said, Dave, if you do this, this, and this, you take the Healthy Dave Hodges Joint Program, we call it now, your joints will start feeling better. Doug Hagman, same thing. He was having high blood sugar. And Doug said, if only I can discuss this on your show. And he started using the protocol, and we named the protocol after him, Doug Hagman's Healthy Blood Sugar Protocol. And he took his blood sugar from over 500 back down to around 100, naturally, without taking any other drugs, by changing his diet and taking supplements that are specifically designed to help your body to utilize insulin better and to bring your blood sugar down naturally without side effects. Same thing with Viagra. We've got a product called HGH Stimulate, which helps to burn body fat and increase lean muscle mass. It makes you incredibly strong when you train with it. And it also acts like a natural Viagra without making you go blind and deaf, which are 2 side effects of Viagra. And it's phenomenal. I take 2 scoops of this stuff every single day. It's amazing what it does. It's called HGH Stimulate. And what it does from a libido standpoint with guys is like a miracle, quite frankly. And what it does as far as increasing lean muscle mass and burning body fat is like a miracle. In fact, my wife says, she just absolutely says all the time, it helped get rid of my cellulite. She had some cellulite on her hips, and she started using that, and her cellulite went away because it helped burn so much body fat. So, guys, here's the thing. If you eat the right foods, you take the right supplements, you're going to feel good. Like our supplements, for instance. We use cellulose gel capsules. We don't use the pork gelatin capsules, and we don't put almost, and unless it's sustained release, we won't even use a tablet because we want the product to be able to open up inside of your intestinal tract and be utilized by your body and not go through undigested. Every one of our batches are tested for heavy metal poisoning. I know one of the other talk show hosts on alternative media was busted last month because his products contained lead, for heaven's sakes, lead. And, you know, we don't do that. We test every single batch. We use a spectrometer, and we test every single batch for heavy metal poisoning, for lead poisoning, cadmium, mercury. They're all tested every single time when we produce our products. And, guys, that's why we produce the highest quality supplements in the world. And many of you buy our products. And, by the way, I want to thank you for that. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins and your B-complex and your vitamin C and your HGA stimulate from us, because it supports alternative radio and allows us to go out, do the shows that we do on an ongoing basis, you know, and just really help the people that are listening. So thank you for that. I appreciate you guys doing that for us. There you go, Dave. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, I think you're right on the money, and you're right about it. It's the education part of it that is so important, because if you did nothing but get your information from the mainstream media, you'll die in your 60s, and you'll die fat, dumb, unhappy, and stupid.
So, well, that's true. And what people need to realize, let's look at sugar. Let's look at high fructose corn syrup and sugar. People don't understand, you know, now my listeners do, your listeners do if they talk to me, that sugar is actually 8 times more addictive than cocaine.
Yeah,
this is crazy stuff.
Yeah,
the real agenda
that.
News that you saw that article. It says people don't have sugar cravings, they have sugar addiction, and that's the bitter truth about sugar. Just as cocaine addicts do, sugar addicts also reject the notion they are hooked on this sweet drug. But recent and not so recent research reveals that sugar has the power to make people even more dependent to it than illegal drugs such as cocaine. In the food industry, at some point along the way, it is meant to keep people dependent on sugar and addicted to their products. And we have had a history of lies in the seeds. In the early 60s, evidence began to accumulate that sugar caused a lot of problems, including heart disease and diabetes. But in 1965, the Foundation of Sugar Research, created and financed by the sugar industry, paid off the New England Journal of Medicine, one of the most influential medical journals in the world, to publish a technical article that disregarded those results. This actually happened. By 1970, the same pseudoscientific foundation paid for experiments on animals with the intention of demonstrating how healthy sugar was. You think, now, this is crazy, but this is what they did. When the results were the opposite of those expected, the foundation aborted the project and prohibited scientists from publishing those results. And that's what they do still to this day. The industry compares with the tobacco industry. I mean, it just continues to poison people and make people think that it's not a poisonous product. The sugar industry follows the steps completely of tobacco. Sugary soft drinks, buns, and sweets will soon follow the same path if history teaches anything. And now with high fructose corn syrup, which they're using even more than they do sugar now, high fructose corn syrup turns off your mechanism in your brain that tells you that you're full, and it turns on the mechanism in your brain that tells you that you're ravenously hungry. So again, you eat more of their product using the high fructose corn syrup than you ever would naturally, and it makes you fatter and fatter and sicker and more addicted. That's why it's critical that you don't do that. Same thing with pork products. Pork products, if they basically have sodium nitrite added to them, like bacon, sausage, ham, hot dogs, they react with stomach acid to form a nitrosamine. These nitrosamines, they react in the stomach with the acid and form one of the most cancerous compounds known to man for producing malignant intestinal tumors. Aspartame has been linked to brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation, and blindness. I mean, it's also one of the most addictive things you can put into your body. Aspartame is actually proved by Rumsfeld, if you can believe that. And it also is a brain entrainment molecule and causes a lapse in short-term memory and causes severe depression. And there are some people that are so addicted to this molecule because it also, the aspartic acid component of the aspartame, there's a receptor site in the brain cells that release dopamine in the presence of aspartic acid. So you trigger the feel-good chemical in your brain with aspartic acid. It gives you a psychological addiction that is extremely strong, and some people are so addicted to diet sodas they will fight you not to have diet sodas in their life. Number four, we always tell people stay away from our shellfish products. I mean, after what happened with all that core exit dumping in the Gulf of Mexico, do you really want to eat shellfish out of the Gulf of Mexico? Or in Fukushima with the radiation coming in there, with all these animals dying in Fukushima because, you know, in the Pacific Ocean, do you really want to do that? And I tell folks this, a lobster is an arthropod, a cockroach is an arthropod, all a lobster is a giant cockroach, that's all it is. Number five is the junk food category, Twinkies, Ding Dongs, and cupcakes. Avoid those things. I mean, they're all high fructose corn syrup. They're empty calories. And what they do is this, Dave. I've never talked about this on your show before. Our body, when we're young, until we get done growing at about the age of 20 to 25, depending on when the human growth hormone stops, it starts going the opposite direction. It builds what's called mineral reserves. And we call it reserve energy in physiology. And what this reserve energy does, if you ever have to be in a situation where you don't have food to eat, or you get sick, or you're not metabolizing your food right, your body can draw on this reserve energy. It's like having a fuel tank, an extra fuel tank in your body. But if you keep drawing off that fuel tank over the years, it runs out. And when it runs out, the mitochondria can no longer produce adenosine triphosphate, and you can no longer produce energy, and you die. And that's what happens. That's why so many people die at such different rates, because they're draining their fuel tank faster. Some people die in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. A lot of children now are being born with cancer because the mother's reserve energy was so low when she was trying to produce that baby in her belly because of bad prenatal nutrition and not taking her supplements. The child is actually born with cancer. It's one of the reasons that cancer is a leading cause of death in children age 14 and under, other than accidents, and leukemia is the leading type of cancer in that. And leukemia, in many research studies, has been directly linked to a lack of vitamin C in the diet. So you've got to make sure you have a high nutrient density in your food every time you eat. That's why we've got the best multiple supplements on the market. We've got chewables. We've got powder if you don't want to swallow pills. I personally take the powder because I put it in my protein shake every day. And number six, we've already talked about. We've talked about the chlorine and the fluoride and how chemically unbalanced they are in the body, how they're looking for electrons, and how they are unbelievably harsh free radicals that you don't need to put in your body. Number seven to stay away from are the soy products. Soy causes little boys to turn into little girls. It's so high in estrogen, period. It changes brain chemistry. It changes secondary sex characteristics if the mother's taking it if she's pregnant. Soy milk, tofu, those types of things. Never put that junk in your body. Eight are high-fat dairy products. We've talked about that already. And number nine are you need to stay away from coffee products. We've got a great product in stock right now. We finally got it back in. It's called Purple Sticks. And it's a green tea vitamin stick that you use about once a day or whenever you need to get picked up a little bit before workout or wake up in the morning. And it doesn't elevate cortisol. And it's a great pickup, a little pick-me-up. I had one about 3 hours ago, and I'm still feeling pretty good from the Purple Stick. And I haven't drunk any coffee. If I drink coffee, it makes me irritable. It keeps me awake at night. It elevates my cortisol. It messes up my sleep pattern, Dave, and I avoid it. And number 10 to stay away from in the final, on the top 10 foods never to eat, are alcohol products. If you're going to drink alcohol and you have a glass of beer every once in a while, I could care less, or a glass of wine every once in a while. I'm talking a couple times a year. No big deal. But, Dave, about 10% of the population is genetically predisposed. If they start drinking alcohol, they're going to get addicted to it. And it causes all types of health problems almost within a decade of drinking. And I've seen so many people, they've ruined their lives. It increases the risks of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, and breast cancer. And what I've also seen with alcohol is this. I've never heard anyone say, Dave, my life was a wreck, and then I started drinking, and everything got much better. I have seen so many people and so many marriages and so many businesses and so many lives completely and totally ruined and destroyed, Dave, because of alcohol. Now, if you want to have a beer with me one time, you want to come down or whatever, I won't have it at the house. You know, I may go out with you or whatever in a restaurant. If you insist on having a beer, I may have a half a beer or whatever. But that's about the extent of my alcohol consumption. It's not a sin to drink. It's a sin to get drunk. Not a sin to drink. Never forget that, because Jesus' first miracle was to turn water into wine after everybody was already drunk. They didn't know any difference, it says in the Bible. So it's not a sin to drink, but you don't want to be doing it on an ongoing basis, and you don't want to do it until you get drunk. And remember, you destroy an enzyme called lipase when you drink, and that allows your body to burn sugar and alcohol instead of storing it. And when you destroy that enzyme, you start gaining body fat very, very quickly. That's where you get these beer bellies from, and beer guts from, and wine guts from. It's because of the use of alcohol. And again, remember, it massively increases the risks of breast cancer and osteoporosis because it precipitates calcium. And with breast tissue, it's really, really bad. And coffee also is bad for women who've got a history of breast cancer because it creates a compound called the methylxanthine in the breast tissue, Dave. And it can actually increase the risk of breast tumors and breast cancer in women who drink coffee. So guys, women, everybody, avoid coffee as much as you can. If you want to have it once or twice a month, it's not going to be that big of a deal. Alcohol, avoid it as much as you can also. But remember, guys, you need to make sure you take care of your body every single day so you don't drain down the energy reserves. Because remember, caffeine doesn't create energy. There's no calories in it. It uses your body's own adrenals to bump you up. That's why it elevates cortisol when you drink coffee. The green tea doesn't do that. It does a great job. So if you're constantly borrowing from Peter to pay Paul and draining your fuel tank for your reserve energy, you're going to die a lot younger than you should. And sadly, you're going to have to really, your parents and your family or whoever who's still left around, your kids are going to have to deal with the fact that you either ate yourself to death, drank yourself to death, or basically had a horrible lifestyle until you die. So guys, think through all of these decisions and get a copy of that book, Eat Clean and Be Healthy, and learn how to eat really healthy food that tastes great very, very quickly, Dave.
Yeah, we really do. Hey, I want to shift gears for a minute. I want to ask you something. I'm sure you're aware of all the heat I took Monday through Wednesday over the announcement that I got from an FBI agent that the Bundys were going to be released.
David, you did it. You broke the story, buddy. When you called me up and told me you did it, I knew you were right because you got really good sources. And, man, did you take the flack and did you take the heat. And I tell you what, a bunch of those guys have come back now and apologized to you because you called it out. Tell the story, Dave. I want to hear it again.
Well, you know, I have a long-time associate who's an FBI agent, and they're well-connected in their job, and they told me that they first told me 3 weeks ago that the Bundys were going to get released to halfway house, to home for Thanksgiving, and that happened. I thought, okay, no big deal. I didn't report it. I didn't care. I said, the only thing I'm interested in is complete release. Well, I got my wish on the early morning hours of Monday. This last Monday, I received information from my source that they were going to be released. So I very quickly, on the 27th, I made a podcast. And I said, it's coming. And I said, I have no collaborating evidence, but it is coming, and it's from a very reliable source, and this source is never wrong. And, boy, I even got a death threat out of it. No, actually, I got more than one. But I took a lot of heat. It reminds me of the Benghazi story. You know, the Benghazi story, I said it was leading to a military coup, and it was narrowly avoided, and that Obama's presidency was really in jeopardy for about 6 hours. And, man, did I take heat over that. I mean, and then the Glenn Beck people who ripped me were plagiarizing me 3 months later. Well, the same thing, you know, basically is happening now. Of course, some people are saying, well, that's not true. You're lying. Cliven Bundy's still in prison. Well, that's right. He is, because he said he won't allow himself to be released until all the co-defendants are released. But, Ted, yeah, it's been an interesting week, let's say that. And people who I thought supported me, man, they turned on me viciously. And I'm still waiting for the apology, dot, dot, dot.
Well, Dave, you know, you called it out. And quite frankly, the Bundy thing, I know that the DOJ got involved in that whole deal because of that nutbag judge that they had down there, which I believe is, you know, directly as a result of Trump's intervention in this, like he did with the sheriff over there in Arizona. And quite frankly, I have a feeling that judge was fixing to go to jail if she didn't release them, because these were charges that had already been found, they were found not guilty on. For some reason, that judge, being a big, how should I say this in a nice way, a big pro-Obama advocate, wanted to make a point with these guys standing up against the ATF and the Bureau of Land Management. And quite frankly, it was a complete and total travesty. And I'm just glad it didn't have the same ending as Ruby Ridge and Waco had. I mean, of course, that was just a complete and total disaster in the United States. And it almost led to it. People don't realize how close this country came to complete rebellion from that. And, of course, it was a disaster under Janet Reno. I mean, this whole thing is getting worse and worse because of 9/11 and the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act. And, again, I'm going to ask this question that I asked at the beginning of the show. If we really had a war on drugs, why are we bombing the processing plants that are producing the drugs and processing the raw heroin instead of taking a C-130 transport plane with spray jets and spraying that 1,000 square miles of poppy with glyphosate? Since the globalists so love their glyphosate and your Agent Orange or whatever else they wanted to use, or a specific herbicide that would kill that stuff dead in its tracks, why are we not using our resources to kill the poppy production in Afghanistan that has doubled in the past year instead of claiming to be bombing the processing facilities? That's kind of like the old analogy that you hear, that the guys stops at the river and all these bodies are floating down the river. And finally they go up the river and the bridge is out and nobody's put a sign on the bridge and they're trying to pull bodies out of the river. Why don't you just put the sign up on the doggone bridge that, hey, look, the bridge is out and you're going to crash into the river if you drive across the bridge. The problem is the bridge. The problem is the poppy production. It's not the dead bodies floating down. It's not the drug production facilities. It's the doggone fact that we haven't gone in and sprayed those doggone crops like we did. Because remember, the poppy production prior to 9/11, like in 2000, early part of 2000, was down to about 100 or so tons of heroin a year out of Afghanistan, which crippled the supply line for the CIA. I mean, let's just call it what it is. And the CIA had to increase their supply line of heroin, and of course 9/11 happened, and we go into Afghanistan, and suddenly they start producing, you know, thousands of metric tons of heroin again, and now we have our little C-130 transport planes flying in and out of there along with processing plants in Afghanistan, shipping this heroin in its finished form, and also we're shipping it also into people, places like India and Pakistan as raw heroin, and they're producing full-blown tablets of like OxyContin, you know, the big tablets that can be crushed or be reinjected for heroin use or be taken orally. Guys, this is a major problem that we have that's being used to fund black operations. And think through it again. This is like taking an aspirin for a headache. You don't have a deficiency of aspirin. You know, you may have a brain tumor. You may have a problem with blood sugar, but you don't have a deficiency of aspirin. It only treats the symptoms. Bombing the sites is a symptom. That's all they're doing. They're treating the symptom. The problem is the Afghan opium production, which need to be sprayed. Guys, I've gotten so many letters in and so many pictures in from people who have heard of us on our show who are soldiers in Afghanistan driving through the poppy fields from their, you know, their vehicles, and they were told repeatedly, don't touch the poppy fields. Don't have anything to do with the poppy fields. And one guy said, it's crazy how all the kids over there in those villages, they're all selling drugs, they're all being stoned, and a lot of our troops in Afghanistan are hooked on drugs and opiates, just like they were in Vietnam, Dave, because of the prevalence of this stuff over there. Plus, we don't know how many troops we have in Afghanistan. They're telling us 15,000, but they're not really sure. What does that even mean? It could be 40 or 50,000 troops in there now guarding the poppy fields. We would have no idea because they're not going to release that information in any type of accurate way. But guys, why have they allowed the opium production to go from 4,800 metric tons in 2016 to 10,000 metric tons in 2017, Dave? This is some scary stuff.
Well, again, we started out the conversation talking about this. This is one of the biggest businesses of the deep state. One, drugs, two, guns, three, children, and not necessarily in that order.
And money, yeah. They use the same C-130 transport planes to transfer human organs, drugs, cash, precious metals, and human trafficking. I mean, we're having open markets now in Libya now and in Turkey selling human beings as slaves again. And, you know, and that's the thing that really bothered me with the NFL this year, with Colin Kaepernick, you know, basically hating the United States, says he's a multimillionaire. If he really wants to be concerned about what's going on as far as slavery and rights, he needs to be going into Libya or into Afghanistan or into Turkey to find out what they're doing there in those markets and how human beings are still being sold into slavery, and not sitting here and protesting our national anthem when he's in a country that's paying him millions and millions of dollars. Complete and total nonsense. And quite frankly, the NFL has hemorrhaged cash, $500 million this year in revenue loss, $500 million, which quite frankly, for those guys, the billionaires who own that, the Sabbatean Kabbalists who own that whole nonprofit franchise, is meaningless for them to lose $500 million. Now, if they start losing billions and billions and billions of dollars every year, we'll get their attention. So, guys, I feel as though, and I'm the same way, if I have Hollywood people that I see, movie stars that start making really weird, sick, twisted movies like Jennifer Lawrence with that movie Mother, I will never pay to see another one of her movies again, period, ever. Same thing. I will never pay to see a Brad Pitt movie again. I will never pay for one of those because some of the movies he's come out with, like Inglourious Basterds. I mean, I'm not going to go out and support these crazy guys with these crazy movies and continue to allow them to maintain that lifestyle when they are completely in the face. They have an anabistic attitude towards Christianity, a deep-seated generational hatred of Christians in Hollywood. They don't want them. This is what they did to Mel Gibson after he put out The Passion of the Christ. And the guys, this is something else. You've got to think through this. If we're supporting these guys and we're continuing to allow them to have the lifestyle that they have through our money because we're giving them money through the theater, why in the world can we complain about what they're doing? If we don't support them and then we complain about it, that's different. But if we continue to support them, that's like cutting your nose off to spite your face. It doesn't make any sense. So that's why I'm in a big, right now, I just don't even, probably quite frankly, almost every one of the movies that have come out this year that I even did go to see were absolutely horrible. And I don't really go to the movies anymore, Dave, because of the problem associated with Hollywood, with the pedophilia, with all of the sex trafficking, with all of the rape, all the incest, and all the sick stuff these guys are involved in, with all their human sacrifice trafficking and all the things that they do. Remember, Ted Gunderson exposed them 20 years ago back in the 90s and said there was a huge underground sacrificial network operating out of L.A. in the movie industry, head of the FBI for Los Angeles County, and you can still watch his videos online, and he goes into detail on what these guys do and why they do it. And guys, we need to listen to him. He had no axe to grind with that industry. He was warning us about who these people were. These are deep-seated Luciferian, Christian-hating people who are trying to do everything they possibly can to turn Yeshua's father. They're doing everything they possibly can to turn the world upside down and make it an absolutely heathen place for their demons and everything else they want to do. That's what's going on. The Bible says that in the latter days, Dave, that everything will be turned upside down. What we'll consider good will be considered evil. What we'll consider evil will be considered good. Now, there used to be transgenderism, and all these people were considered mentally deficient. It was considered a mental disorder. Now it's considered a social right and a skill set that's supposed to be admirable. Are you joking me? These guys, these transgenders who have these reassignment surgeries, they've got up to a 40% suicide rate. These guys got some serious mental issues going on, and Donald Trump was absolutely right saying he did not want them in the military of the United States, Dave.
He was right, and man, did he ever take heat. And you're right about the social fabric and the moral aspects of our society. Anything that has been traditional is now considered to be racist or crazy. You're absolutely right. Ted, tell people how they can listen to your show here on Global Star.
Well, they can go to it. Well, that's easy enough. They can go to thehealthmasters.com and just scroll down on the website, and you'll see a listen to archive shows. And there's also a telephone number. You can listen to it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you don't even have to do it online. You don't have to do it through streaming. You can just basically do it through your telephone. So if you're driving around and you have a Bluetooth in your car and you just want to listen to the show, you can listen to it. And if you go to healthmasters.com, you'll get that telephone number. And, of course, you can listen to it online and download it down to your iPod, and you can listen to it while you're walking or listen to it in your automobile. It's a really interesting show. And what I'll do is I'll say in the archives, it's a must-listen show. And every once in a while, I'll put in there, like twice, this is a must-listen show when we're giving a description of the show. And those are the shows that are really, really to the point, and you guys will really enjoy. Like Monday's show of last week was one of those. Wednesday's show was one of those. Friday's show was one of those. And you'll really enjoy and be blessed by those shows, because we always talk about God. We try to in the shows. A lot of times we use scripture because, guys, I'm a born-again Christian and I'm proud of it. And I'm not going to try to segment that part of my life away from my professional broadcast career. I don't do that. So, you know, we do the best we can to bring honor and glory to God the best we can on our show every single day. And that's what I want you guys to do, is to have the best life, the best blessed life you can possibly have through your Creator. That's my goal for you.
Very good. Ted, we're out of time, my friend. Great stuff as always. Please visit healthmasters.com. Take advantage of that discount with the number 5. Hodges is the discount code. Healthmasters.com. Ted Brewer, great stuff. We'll see you back here in hour number 2, everybody.